Lord, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me.
Therefore, we should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. O holy God, what have I feared more than you? What have I loved more than you? What have I trusted more than you? You know my sins, for all things lie naked and bare before your eyes, and the secret idolatries of my heart are not hidden from you. O Lord, deliver me, for I have done evil through my own fault. I have risked the loss of heaven and earned the pains of hell. And above all, I have grieved you, who are all goodness, faithfulness, and love. O Lord, our God, for the sake of Calvary, spare us who plead to you for shelter. Pardon all our sins. Receive us as your children, and fill us with your sanctifying fire. Amen.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God to all of you. And in the said and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Blessed be the Holy Trinity and the undivided unity.
Let us give glory to him, because he has shown his mercy to us.
I have set the Lord always before me.
Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken.
Therefore my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices.
My flesh also dwells secure.
For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol,
or let your Holy One see corruption.
You make known to me the path of life.
In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Christ, O Lord God, Lamb of God.
Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us grace to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity by the confession of a true faith, and to worship the unity in the power of the divine majesty. Keep us steadfast in this faith and defend us from all adversities. For you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live and reign, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the Feast of the Holy Trinity is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 6th chapter. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one called to the other and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook, and the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name.
Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness.
Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings.
Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name.
Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness.
The voice of the Lord is over the waters.
The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters.
The voice of the Lord is powerful.
The voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars.
The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf.
And Syria like a young man.
The voice of the Lord
flashes forth flames of fire.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness.
The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh.
The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forests bare.
And in his temple all cry, "O Lord."
The Lord sits enthroned over the flood.
The Lord sits enthroned and reigning forever.
May the Lord give strength to his people.
May the Lord bless his people with peace. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, it is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name.
Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness.
The second reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, the 2nd chapter. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, saying, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. As you yourself know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad, and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life, and you will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his thrones, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh seek corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. He has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let the house of Israel, therefore, know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered him, are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
confess the Athanasian Creed. Whoever desires to be saved must, above all, hold the Catholic faith.
Whoever does not keep it whole and undefiled will, without doubt, perish eternally.
And the Catholic faith is this:
that we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance.
For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another.
But the Godhead of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit is one, the glory equal, the majesty co-eternal.
Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit.
The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated.
The Father infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite.
The Father eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal.
And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal.
Just as there are not three uncreated, or three infinites, but one uncreated and one infinite.
In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, the Holy Spirit almighty.
And yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty.
So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God.
And yet there are not three gods, but one God.
So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord.
And yet there are not three Lords, but one Lord.
Just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so also are we prohibited by the Catholic religion
to say that there are three gods or Lords.
The Father is not made, nor created, nor begotten by anyone.
The Son is neither made nor created, but begotten of the Father alone.
The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but of the three.
Thus there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits.
And in this Trinity, none is before or after another, none is greater or less than another.
But the whole three persons are co-eternal with each other and co-equal, so that in all things, as has been stated above, the Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity is to be worshipped.
Therefore, whoever desires to be saved must think thus about the Trinity. But it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Therefore, it is the right thing that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is at the same time both of God and
He is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages.
And He is man, born from the substance of His Mother in this age.
Perfect God and perfect man, composed of a rational soul and human flesh.
Equal to the Father with respect to His divinity, less than the Father with respect to His humanity.
Although He is God and man, He is not two, but one Christ.
One, however, not by the conversion of the divinity into flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God.
One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person.
For as
the rational soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ,
who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead,
ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead.
At his coming, all people will rise again with their bodies and give an account concerning their own deeds.
And those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire.
This is the Catholic faith. Whoever does not believe it faithfully and firmly cannot be saved.
From our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text is from Peter's Pentecost sermon, the second reading. When Peter proclaimed, "This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses, Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this, that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him, both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. This is our text. Today we celebrate one of the newest feasts and festivals on the Christian calendar. This newbie was added to the church calendar only 600 years ago, and it's been celebrated throughout the world since that time. God was, and he is, and he always will be triune, a holy trinity. He is three in one, three persons in one God. Even before the church set aside a special Sunday to celebrate this doctrine, Christians believed it. We confess the Trinity in the Athanasian Creed. This creed was written in the 6th century, so 1400 years ago, and it is spoken on this Sunday every year in many congregations. The rest of the year, you know, we confess the Apostles' and the Nicene Creeds. Both of those have three articles, one for each of the three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if we open to the scriptures, we find the Holy Trinity all the way back in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and all things were created by his word. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit at work in creating. Because that word, St. John tells us in his gospel, is the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, who in time became flesh and dwelt among us. His name is Jesus of Nazareth. Every Sunday, you could say, is, in a sense, Trinity Sunday. Think about how our divine services begin and end. The service begins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. As we gather united with the Blessed Trinity to receive what he gives, a union that was formed for us in holy baptism when you were baptized into that same name. And then at the end of the service, we have that threefold blessing. The Lord bless you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in between the beginning and the end of the service, we offer thanksgiving to the Father for Christ's saving life and for the gift of the Holy Spirit, who remains present with us in his word and sacraments. In Holy Communion, the Spirit takes what belongs to Jesus and gives it to us, the very body and blood of the Son, whom the Father sent to suffer, to die, and to rise for us. The weekly divine service that we gather in here is Trinitarian through and through, because the Christian faith is Trinitarian through and through. And the Christian faith is Trinitarian through and through, because Holy Scripture is Trinitarian through and through. This is, as the Athanasian Creed says, the Catholic faith. Not just the Roman Catholic faith, but the universal Christian faith. Catholic with a lowercase c. In other words, this is the faith of all Christians in every time and in every place. The Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity. Notice that we worship this God. It does not say that the Catholic faith is that we understand this God, or that we comprehend him fully, or that we fit the triune God into our heads. But we worship him. And we know no other God than this one. We worship no other God than this one. One God in three persons,
the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We hear the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all spoken about in our second reading today, the sermon that St. Peter preached on Pentecost only 50 days after Easter. As the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church, Peter proclaimed Jesus of Nazareth to be the promised Christ, through whom the God of Israel was acting. God has spoken through his Son. And how does God speak through his Son? And what is he saying to them? And what is he saying to us? Peter says that God bore witness to Jesus by doing mighty works and wonders and signs through him. As Nicodemus said in the gospel reading, no one can do what you do unless he is sent by God. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the deaf hear, even the dead are raised up. And this Jesus, Peter says, was delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. The God who created the universe, the God who acts in history, the only true and living God, reveals himself in the person and the word and the works of Jesus, and even through his crucifixion and death at the hands of lawless men. And on the third day, God raised him up. It's a short but remarkable sermon that Peter preaches. He proclaims this Jesus as the Christ of God, the promised Messiah and Savior. And he proclaims this to people who didn't know him, to people who couldn't recognize him. Our Lord came to his own, but his own did not recognize him. These people didn't know who Jesus was, but they did know about King David. And so Peter preaches about David. They knew the Psalms of David. They knew where the tomb of David was. But they didn't know where to find great David's greater son, the one who is also David's Lord. They knew King David, but they didn't know King Jesus. They didn't know the king or the kingdom proclaimed by the Psalms and the prophets and manifested in the mighty works of Jesus, and especially in his death and resurrection. Risen from the dead and exalted at the right hand of God, Jesus is both Lord and God. Jesus is King. He is the one who is in charge, and his kingdom is the kingdom that comes even now. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. The coming of this King would be good news, except for one thing. When Jesus preaches that Pentecost sermon, he says three cutting words: "You crucified him." Those who hear Peter's sermon stand condemned, stung by the law. Their shouts and cries, their unbelief and hard hearts, their disregard for God and callousness toward their neighbor, their sin sealed Pilate's verdict. Their sin shoved that crown of thorns on our Lord's head. Their sin drove the nails deep into his hands. And here we are today, and we stand just as condemned. You crucified him. The stinging law sticks us as well. Were you there when they crucified the Lord? The answer is no. But you and I put him there as well. It was our unbelief and our hard hearts. It was our disregard for God and our callousness toward our neighbors. It was our sin that placed the crushing load of the cross on his shoulders and left him cursed on a tree. This is what we confess every Sunday as we gather and we confess our sins. We are confessing that it is our sin, mine and yours, that placed Jesus on the cross. Every single sin of thought, word, and deed makes us responsible for the death of God's Son. Let that be a reminder to us of how serious our sin is. So serious that it put him on the cross. And yet, Peter says, his crucifixion was according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. This was God's plan too. The plan that God laid out in the Psalms and in the prophets. What God had promised in the Old Testament, he brought to pass in Jesus Christ. His flesh would dwell in hope. The Holy One of God, though he died and was buried, would not see corruption. Death could not hold him. David's Lord was raised from the dead, and he is seated at the right hand of the Father with his enemies, sin, death, and the devil, brought into submission under his feet. And what does that mean for us? If we hear those words, like the people to whom Peter preached heard them, then we would wonder this. Being responsible for crucifying the Christ, are we also enemies that he will crush beneath his feet? When every sin that we do puts us at odds with God, are we enemies that he will crush under his feet? It's the question that the people asked when they heard Peter's sermon. Brothers, what shall we do? What shall we do indeed? And if they had asked that question of anyone else, if we asked that question of anyone else, the answers will all be similar. We would be told to look to ourselves. We would be told to do our very best that we could. We would be told to commit ourselves to keeping various rules and regulations. This is what every other religion, every guru and spiritual teacher, every guide and life coach says. What must we do? Well, do all these things, and you will be saved. Sadly, it's also what too many Christian churches preach. Instead of the power and the glory and the love of the Holy Trinity, we hear again and again and again about what we should do, what we must do, in order to be saved. But that's not where Peter goes. He simply says, repent. Repent of all of it. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Peter points to baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who is the beloved Son of the Father and on whom the Spirit rested. Baptism that forgives our sins. You see, Peter isn't into the business of doling out good advice. He's not in the business of telling people what they need to do. He's in the business of preaching good news. The crucifixion brought about by your sins and mine, the crucifixion that stands as a condemnation of our sin, Peter preaches as the means by which God sets us free. It is Christ's victory over sin and death, and his resurrection has brought about a new creation. Believe, he says, and be baptized, because baptism is not the work of any man, but it is the work of God himself. It is the place in which the Spirit moves with the Word, in which the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come. In baptism, the Father declares you his beloved child, and the Son marks you as one who is baptized into his death and resurrection, and the Spirit descends on you with all his gifts and graces. And this is what sets our religion and our beliefs, the Christian faith, apart from every other religion and every other philosophy, and this is what makes it good news. It's not about what you are obligated to do, but about what God has done and gives to you. And what about that phrase in the Athanasian Creed? When we confessed that those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire, does that phrase condemn us? And the answer is no. Baptized into Christ Jesus, with his death paying for our sins, there is no evil left on us. There is no sin that will be held against us on the last day, but all is forgiven. It has been crucified with Christ and buried with him. And what of the good? The good are those things that remain when our sin is forgiven. The good that God himself has done through us by the working of the Holy Spirit. Not that we mark the good, not that we keep track of those things, but that God is at work for good in and through us. This is what we believe. So although those words, "you crucified him," condemn us, so too does the promise that Jesus speaks. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men, but God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. Your sin could not consign Jesus to eternal death. Your sin could not keep the Lord in the grave. And your sin will not consign you to eternal death either. It will not keep you in the grave. For Christ has been raised as the first fruits of those who believe, the first fruits of those who will follow. Those who have died in Christ will be raised to eternal life, and so will we. And so today we give praise and glory and honor to the Son and to the Father and to the Holy Spirit, to the blessed Holy Trinity, for this great work of redemption accomplished through our Lord Jesus Christ. May our Heavenly Father and his dear Son and the Holy Spirit be with and bless and keep us now and always. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For an ever-growing understanding of the depths of God's riches, wisdom, and knowledge through his word, that we may glorify him forever, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the missionaries of our church as they go to the ends of the earth with the good news of the gospel, especially for Michael and Nancy Jane Maurizio and the Reverend Dr. John Bombaro and his family, that many may hear of God's love in his Son and be saved through faith in him, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who deny the new birth of water and the Spirit to infants and children, that the Lord would open their hearts to the fullness of his grace, so that these little ones would be hindered no longer from being born again into his kingdom, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For expectant mothers and their unborn children, especially Jessica Pasco, Celeste Brooks, and Abby LaBear, and for all children in danger of abortion, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
In thanksgiving for those who served our nation through military service, and in grateful remembrance of those who gave their lives for us and for the cause of freedom, that we may honor their sacrifice by using our liberty responsibly. For all who travel,
that they would be kept safe, for our nation and its blessings, and for aid in protecting and increasing the benefits we have for those who follow us, looking always to you from whom these benefits come. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For M.J. Oates, Amy Bennett, Diane Albert, Maury Albert, Marilyn Arsenault, Anne Blaze, Jared Blaze, Pat Courtwright, Matt DeBara, Al and Lois Doskasil, Kay Emmerich, Bobby Joe Ewing, Karina Thaw, Jackie Gordon, Phyllis Hoffman, Randy Hunter, Rosemarie Jackson, Gary Kengis, George Kengis, Jesse Kengis, Nancy Kengis, Janet Lauricella, Nancy McTighe, John Meyer Jr., Ed Pinard, and all who suffer in our midst, that the Lord of hosts would uphold them in the truth, that since he is at their right hand, they cannot be shaken, and that he would gladden their hearts, cause their tongues to rejoice, and make their flesh dwell in hope. Let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For all who commune, that by Christ's cleansing body and blood on our lips, our guilt may be taken away and our sin atoned for, that we would not be lost but abide in his holy presence forever, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, who with your only begotten Son and the Holy Spirit are one God, one Lord. In the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity in person and the unity in substance of majesty co-equal. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread,
And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank and praise you for feeding us this life-giving body and blood of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Send us your Holy Spirit, that having with our mouths receive the Holy Sacrament, we may by faith obtain and eternally enjoy your divine grace, the forgiveness of sins, unity with Christ, and life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.